this is I Should Be Writing number 531. This is the last I Should Be Writing I'll be doing before November because I'm taking next week off. First vacation this year. And we had a lot planned. So, gonna be going to another house to sit. It's not like we're gonna be touring and spreading germs everywhere, but just a different change of pace, break from work. It'll be nice. Let me make sure I say hi to people. Hey, Seat. Hey, Leif. Thank you for letting me know my mic was wrong, because that's new and terrible. Hey, OK Cunning. Good to see everybody. Hey, Tim. So yeah, I started a new follower goal, which is amusing because it's way larger than my followers are now, but I figured for NaNoWriMo, I would go ahead and put the traditional 1,667. Hey, Todd. Hey, Bill. Hey, Underpope. Yeah, I got the notification in time today. I get that, too. I get, you know, sometimes I'll be looking at who I'm following on Twitch, and one of my favorite people will be on, and I'm like, where was my notification? But, so yeah, I feel your pain. Was there another tweet sent out, Trisby? Because I just wanted to mention that I was running a little late and would like some questions, but there should have been one earlier. I didn't check. Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you. Hey, Lark Adley. So, I have an alarm to take my meds at 12:30. I just have to remember what day it is. Yeah, that's useful. So yeah, if you're new, this is I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. My name is Mer. I am a science fiction writer and podcaster for 16 years. Yeah, in 2 months it'll be 16 years. And my podcast experience can drive now. That's interesting. Yeah, and I have been streaming the podcast since August or so. So you can either get it here live on Twitch, or you can go to YouTube and get the video a couple of days later, or you can subscribe to the feed and get the audio version of this a couple of days later. I got a new mug from Faya. It's got Octavia Butler on it, and it makes me very happy. I won't have to send the podcast to college, at least. Yes, that is a happy thing. So, I spent all morning wrangling with Twitch and making all this happen, and was trying to think of what to talk about, and we've been doing a lot of NaNoWriMo prep, but since it's my last podcast before November, I'm open to any more NaNoWriMo prep questions. If I don't get any, which is fine, I will be talking about looking ahead, because I think it might be because it was the same time. It was around the same time 16 years ago that I addressed my depression and got on medication. And the medication I'm on takes about 6 weeks to take hold. And so I got on the medication in late October, I think, early November. And then by December 8th, I was trying this new thing called podcasting. And there definitely is correlation there. So that's why I talk about mental health here, and why I talk about there should be no stigma to any meds you have to take. Because I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have a writing career if I had not had medication to help pull me out of the depression pit 16 years ago. And when I came out, I felt happy and creative, and, you know, my daughter's toddler behavioral issues got better because I was happier. I mean, everything was just so much better. So what I'm getting to is the fact that I often feel like this time of year is when it's time to start over, not January, because I felt like I had my first start, my starting restart, rebirth, whatever you want to call it, in fall, not midwinter. So I always have a January type feeling right now, which is, okay, where have I been? What am I doing? What am I planning on? And that's why I usually talk about this at this time, and I usually talk about it in January too, because I figure everybody else is thinking it, but that's why I address it in November, is because that's when it's on my mind. excuse me. Mental and physical health, better sleep helps creativity. Yes, that too. Better sleep is awesome. Try not to miss out on sleep for NaNoWriMo. And I know that sounds like a cross-purpose piece of advice, because a lot of times, and I've advised this, if you're looking for time in your day to carve out, you might just have to get up a little earlier. But to be honest, is sleep really the thing you need to kill, or is it your browser games? Or is it your TV? Or, because, yeah, if you have time to do those things, you have time to write. And do you deserve downtime? Should you be writing all the time? Yes and no. Or working all the time. But November's different. If you're committing to NaNoWriMo, it might be time to take some of your free time and put it towards words. So that's my thinking on that. But thinking ahead, it's been a slow year for me, not just because of COVID. Oh yeah, I know for me it's my TV. I always say after this episode, guilty. Usually it's after this episode I'll go to bed, but yeah, sometimes that doesn't work. But it's been a slow year. It started out rough, and then COVID hit, and then everything else after COVID hit. And my main focus this year has been fixing the book that was heavily broken. And so I got two smaller projects that I'm working on right now that I can't mention yet. But, so November will probably be those projects. It's, you know, looking at my income this year has been a little sobering, because Six Wakes did well, you know, the year it came out and the year after when it was nominated for the awards, but that royalty stream has turned to a trickle, and I'm thinking about, wow, well, taxes will look a lot better next year, that's for sure. Try to look on the bright side, but I'm hoping next year has a lot more output from me. I'm feeling better about everything. I'm feeling better about being creative and being productive. So I think that'll happen, but I gotta put the work in. So I've got those two smaller projects that's gonna close out the year. I've got some self-pub things I'm working on, and by self-pub I mean I'm gonna be putting it out. I can't sell it because it's too niche. I don't know how to say that word. I don't think anybody would buy it the way I want to do it. So, working on that little project, and then hopefully I'll have the book to polish, hopefully not too much, and then get started on another one. Does anyone know how to say that? But I'm feeling better. As I said when I started doing Twitch, this chat is terrible. I'm sorry, guys. I'm very unhappy with how it's turning out. That's awful. I'll try to fix that later. But I've mentioned this before, but since starting Twitch, I have felt more creative, and I don't know if there's a correlation or a causation stuff, because around the time I started doing Twitch is when I felt like I was crawling out of the malaise I was in for most of the spring. So because I was now doing streaming, I could get back on my podcast schedule, and then I could get my writing up to a much more regular process. And so I'm hoping to stay on that. I'll be, like I said, I'm taking next week off. November will be reruns of the Daily NaNoWriMo shows from past years, and this time will be live writing. So it'll be like a little bit of intro, and then if you want to put your video up, I'm going to try to figure out how to do that with Discord. I need to do that soon because my time's running out. But if you want to be on the screen, fine. If you don't, that's cool too. Some people have said they want it because it helps with accountability. And I'm pretty sure I don't have so many followers who are doing NaNoWriMo, who are going to be writing at that specific time, who want to be on screen, to fill up my screen. So I think we won't get too many people there. So yeah, that'll be the Tuesday, Thursdays, because I'll be doing, I'll be doing the live writing. And then everything goes back to normal in December, when I'll probably be taking a break from writing if I successfully hit my deadlines in November, and thinking about projects next year. One of my big problems with ADD is trying to figure out how long projects will take me. And the thing is, a lot of times, people like to ask you how long it takes you to write a book. And, you know, there's no real answer to that, because do you count the brainstorming hours I spent deciding whether it was a good enough idea to turn into a book? Do you count the hours I spent on a proposal? Of course you count the writing, but do you count the hours I spent in editorial? Do you count the time between turning in the book and getting the edits back? I mean, it's hard to say how long it takes to write a book, because how much of that time, I mean, it takes years if you count all of that. But if you're just counting the writing time, then I guess 3 to 4 months. But I almost never count the writing time, because it feels like it's so much larger than just putting down those words, because the book's in your head, or at least in my head, a lot way before I start writing, and then all the other stuff. I need to catch up with chat, and since that chat is a piece of crap, I have to look on my tablet over here. So, Seat says, the thing I find hard about TV versus writing time is I feel much more aggravated being interrupted from writing than I do in a show or game that I just pause. Yeah, that's a good point. You gotta take family, pets, phone, outside stuff into account. And if you can't dedicate that time to focus, then you might want to carve into your sleep time, because maybe late at night or early morning is the only time you can get free to write. And this is where those blanket pieces of advice, like just get up earlier, or write during your lunch hour, or write every day, or whatever, doesn't apply to everybody. Going back to the free plan with commercials for streaming services helped me. It made it harder to binge watch. I have not heard of that, Lark Adley. Welcome also to the stream. But that's a really interesting idea. I'm betting watching TV live would do it, because I am so sick of political ads I want to throw up. The artist John Kovalik he does Dork Tower, and he's a friend. He's very, very, very amazingly talented, and he has a Patreon, and so I support it and I get his comics early, and that's exciting. But somebody wanted to come up with a one of his characters wanted to come up with an invention where after you vote, like early voting or absentee voting or something, you never get any other ads ever, or until the next election. And then the next panel has him on stage with the banner, every Nobel Prize ever being awarded to him. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I've always wished I could not hear the NPR pledge drive, please, after I give money to them. I'm like, okay, I gave the money. Can't I stop listening to this now? And you know, in the days of podcasting, that's more possible, but I don't see why they would pay someone to strip out that stuff and put it in a podcast form. That seems like throwing good money after bad, kind of. But yeah, I would love to. We're watching the World Series now, so the seeing all the political ads again. Anyway, back to the chat. Yeah, agreed. When I watch Hulu with commercials, I'm able to break out of the TV snare occasionally to remember I have other things I want or need to do. Actually, the ad stuff helps me getting away from the YouTube rabbit hole. Because sometimes I'll be watching something and then it'll come on, it'll bring up the next video, and I'm like, oh, well, that looks interesting. Maybe I'll watch that too. And then I'll get like two ads I have to sit through. So I'm like, or I can just turn it off and do something else. It's a good break, actually. I don't think they intend it to be like that. Hey, phased out. Good to see you. Hope your days are going a little bit better. Interesting. Game adverts rather than Prime Video adverts. Hey, Anne. Good to see you. Thanks for dropping by. What is normal for 2020? Phase out. I have no idea. I just keep wanting to hold on tight. As long as I'm holding on tight, it just, yeah. Yeah, I got email from somebody who approached me with a business opportunity thing, and then I wrote him back with some questions, and then I didn't hear from him for like a month or so. And I thought, well, okay, I mean, no skin off my nose. But then he comes back and he's like, yeah, my mother died of COVID, so I had to deal with that. Sorry to take so long. And I'm like, don't worry about me. It's like, I know you gotta do your job, but dang. No, I didn't, I don't care, not care, but I don't mind that you needed grief time and all that terrible, terrible thing. So, yeah, Anne says, when I'm on YouTube, I hit the ad skip button whenever possible. Yeah, I do too. Sometimes I will watch them or at least let them play because I know that helps whoever channels who's whoever's channel the channel I'm on, it helps the creator. That was a terrible sentence still, but anyway, and you know, it's kind of bad for me, hypocritical of me to complain about creators making money, so I try to help where I can. So in yeah, I was talking about looking forward. Depends on the ad and whether I've heard it or not. Oh yeah, can I tell you about Grammarly? Would you like me to tell you about Grammarly? I know everything about Grammarly. Okay. Billy boy, I find it instead of adding NaNoWriMo time to your schedule in November, redo your schedule for November with NaNoWriMo as one of the primary goals. I'm not sure I follow. Bill, can you go on about that? Instead of adding time to your schedule, redo your schedule. So you mean you're saying not don't add NaNoWriMo, you have to rearrange something. You can't just magically put in writing time where there was no time. Is that what you're saying? Oh, and don't you want to hear about Grammarly? Come on. Surely you don't remember everything. My tea is cold. Anyway, add NaNoWriMo into your daily schedule. Okay. Anne does not want me to tell her about Grammarly anymore. Okay. Yeah, adding it into the schedule, making it a habit that you can't miss. That's important. Yeah, I gotta figure out my schedule, even though I've been trying to put writing as a first thing in the morning thing. At least on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'll be writing for sure. Yay! Hey Paul, thanks for following. And I got to see my little ghost animation, which makes me so happy. Want to hear about Masterclass? No, I'm good. I'm good. Yes, rearrange your time. Okay. So yeah, it's considering that you are adding something so large to your schedule, things need to be shifted. Priorities need to change. Or I don't think you're gonna win. And this is coming from somebody who never wins Nano, so there's that. Seat's plan is to try and fit the writing time between 2:30 and 3:30 a.m., right after work before bed. That sounds like a good time to write. Sounds like very few people, other people are going to make demands on your time for sure. Yeah, that's intense, but I suppose if that's your day, then you wouldn't be as tired as I am at 2:30. Anne says, for some reason I do my novel writing in the evenings during NaNoWriMo, but not as much during any other time. Well, yeah, I think NaNoWriMo is a very big incentive for people. It helps jumpstart a lot of people. It helps jumpstart pro authors to get moving on a new book, which is why people wonder why pro authors do it. It's like you don't need the boost. You don't need to prove you can do it, but it helps. I've talked about the energy of everybody doing the same thing at once. I just read a mystery book about a tech company, and like I wonder about this author because it really does sound like a really cool idea for a tech company, and that's it's a social media network where you follow people and you see what they're listening to at that moment. And it's like you can't see anything else about them. You don't even know what they think of the song, but it's that you get the feeling that if you're listening to the same thing as a celebrity that you like at the same time, it's a burst of dopamine right there. And it's like I've got Charlie Brown's holiday specials on DVD, but when it comes on TV, it's like it's exciting to watch, and I never realized why, and I think it was because of it's a shared experience. Even though you're not talking to anybody, you know there are other people out there watching Charlie Brown too. And so, yeah, I loved the idea of this social media thing that was kind of key to the mystery, but yeah, it's shared experiences are especially in this pandemic year. Are very important. So I think that's another thing that gets people excited about NaNoWriMo, even if they fail every time, like me, which is just I like to know that I'm getting excited about the same thing a lot of other people are at the same time. Seat says, I have a sleep disorder, 4 to 5 hours of sleep a day, and I'm fine. Wake up at 8 or 9 with a baby. Wow. I'm sorry about the sleep disorder, but it sounds like you're making use of the time awake. I like the race against the odds, race against the clock, so I'll do word sprints outside of Nano when I'm trying to push through to the end of a draft. Yeah, we do a lot of word sprints on the Discord, which I promised to have ready today, and I didn't. So, way to go, Myrrh. I forgot about that. Yesterday was kind of a mess for me because I had two video interviews over about the new Escape Pod anthology, which is out in the UK now and will be out in America in November 17th. Apparently, while people have been trying to blame Obama for anything and everything in the past 4 years, this one's actually his fault because our publishers in the UK, and so apparently European printing presses were so busy with Obama's massive memoir and used so much paper that all the other books got pushed back. So they were able to release the UK version, but the US version got pushed back. And thanks, Obama. But that amused us greatly when we actually realized we had a reason to say that. But anyway, I was on two videos and had a doctor's appointment and a couple of other things really stressed me out yesterday. So the time I was supposed to, oh, a deadline, yeah. So, yes, exactly. One of the few times where it applies. So I did not, I got everything done I needed to get done yesterday, which was like the deadline and these video interviews, but I've totally dropped the ball in the Discord thing, so I'm sorry about that. I'm gonna need to set it up, advertise it, and make it available for you to look it up on the chat. Look up the information on the chat by hitting bang Discord. So those are the three things. As I said on Tuesday, if you're listening or watching, if you are a Patreon supporter, this will be a separate server from the Patreon only server. While that makes it slightly more inconvenient to you to join another server, it keeps the Patreon server exclusive. So that's considering that's what people seem to like most about my Patreon, I definitely want to keep that exclusive for the supporters. But then for NaNoWriMo, I'm gonna make a special Discord for everybody. So, I've spent a lot of time this year trying to remember that, especially now, we can still do what we want to do with writing. And this is something that I've said is a luxury that people who aren't published have. It doesn't feel like a luxury, but when you look back on it, it is, because you have that feeling of, well, I have to write this other book for my publisher, which is great. I'm getting paid for writing. It was my dream. I'm happy. But if there's something else weird I want to do that publishers may not get behind, or something innovative that they wouldn't know how to get behind, or just weird and stupid because it amuses me, then I've been telling myself I can't do that because I have other deadlines. And while I can't put aside my other deadlines, I gotta remember that I can still do whatever I want. And when you're unpublished, no one cares what you do, which can either depress you or give you a sense of freedom. So, if you want to tell a story on your blog with stick figures, if you want to tell a story via song on YouTube and Twitch, and YouTube and Twitch have different versions of the song, and people have to figure out the differences and solve the puzzle, then you can do it. I don't know how you would do it, and if you do it, please tell me, because that sounds interesting. The thing I just thought up off the top of my head. Okay. But yeah, I gotta remember that I can still play around. If your publishers won't take a book you've written, can't you still self-publish it? Yes, but when you become a pro writer, there's, or at least, a lot of people I know sell books on proposal. And you don't actually have to write the whole book before you send it in. So I write a proposal for a book I want to write, and the publisher says, no, I have to decide whether I want to take time that I'm not being paid for and write it, or propose another book that they will pay me for. So I have no full manuscripts of anything sitting around. I just have a lot of proposals and, like, beginnings of books that never sold. So, yeah, I can self-publish any of it, but that becomes, again, it's just a mindset thing. It's a mindset thing and it's a time thing. It's a, am I allowed to be doing this? Shouldn't I be working on the book for my publisher? If I'm behind, then yes, I should be working on the book for my publisher, but, I don't know. I don't know if it's me depending too much on my editors. I have a book that was multiple award nominated a couple of years ago, and I fully acknowledge that it wouldn't have gotten there without the amazing editor I worked with. And so it's been a long time since I've published something without an editor, and that's a little scary because I've only had really good experiences and know that if you're working with a good editor, your book can be amazing. They'll point out stuff you never saw. They'll give you guidance or suggestions that you may or may not have to, you probably won't have to follow, but you probably should think about it pretty hard before you decide not to. And so self-publishing either adds another, price another cost onto it to hire an editor, or it makes me dare to put out a book that's not edited. So yes, I can still publish it, but I think I get in my own way a lot because my friend Ursula Vernon, aka T. Kingfisher, has a very busy career going where she's writing books for her publishers and then she's writing books for herself on a regular schedule to self-publish. And I don't know how she does it. I need to ask her that again. If I'm ever allowed to have lunch with her again. Seats has a more craftish question. Outside of the futuristic thing, what would you say makes sci-fi genre distinct from fantasy genre? Wow, that's a question that starts fistfights in bars at cons. Sci-fi is, the way I see it is sci-fi creates something that can conceivably be done. You know, we just don't have the science to do it, but we believe it can be done somehow. Magic, no. And that's fantasy. Now, there's the whole very amusing situation of the Dragon Riders of Pern, which we didn't know was fantasy, was science fiction until, like, several books in when she did a prequel and talked about all the scientists who took their spaceships and landed on the planet and then genetically changed the fire lizards they found into dragons that they could ride. So we suddenly realized this fantasy thing was actually science fiction. But I still don't believe in the ecology of Pern because the dragons eat a lot. And there are a lot of dragons. So they would run out of livestock real fast. Real fast. But that's a tangent. Anyway, it's, and you know, you can get into arguments, but a lot of people say, like, even though Star Wars has spaceships and space battles, and people usually think science fiction when they think space, there's an awful lot of magic, awful lot of non-scientific stuff going on in there, mainly with the Force. even though the whole midichlorian thing tried to get pushed through. Yeah, I never know what happened with that. I'm not sure where the official stance is, because they kind of walked that back when it came to the newest three movies. But anyway, yeah, some people call Star Wars science fantasy. Or futuristic fantasy, yeah, or science fantasy. Some people are very stodgy. I'm just gonna say it. They're stodgy in the fact that they think that science fiction should only be about things that are feasible. And I never said I was a scientist. I like writing science fiction, but I don't understand a lot about actual deep scientific thought. So, but from what I understand it, as we understand science today, faster than light travel ain't gonna happen. And so this is the kind of person that said if faster than light travel doesn't belong in science fiction because it's not actual science. And I'm of the opinion of you just want people to not have fun. It's like learning about the space program is terrifying in the fact that so much can go wrong that's not interesting. So much can kill you that's not interesting. And by interesting, I mean like something worthy of writing an exciting science fiction book. So, those gamma rays and cosmic rays up there, they're not going to turn you into a superhero. They're going to kill you dead. And so, but that's not sexy or exciting. So you almost never have them address all of the terrible radiation in space. But this the people who believe in this like hardcore only science in your science fiction would demand that. There's no sound in space either, but I can only think of granted, I have not seen every single space thing that there is, but I can only think of two things, and that's Firefly in 2001 that actually had space being silent. And in Firefly, it made it very creepy and made me wonder, like, why people had shied away from that. But, so yeah, that's the differences in the genre for me. If you think it can happen scientifically, whether we have the con whether we have it or not, the technology, then it's science fiction. And I include FTL in there. I include super magical cloning technology. I include all that in there. But elves, if elves are in space, it's probably fantasy. Let's see. Sorry, the chat went on. Man, I'm so mad about this chat box over here because it's I'm getting not really helping it, not really dealing with it. Anyway, Anne says, I have a friend who's doing the same thing. Does she write under different names when self-publishing? Well, Anne's friend built her brand, so the traditional publisher decided to let her keep her author name. Wow. I didn't know publishers had any say in that. But, I mean, they could put stuff in your contract that you can't write stuff that competes with yourself, or you can't write novel-length stuff. But, yeah, everybody I know who has a pen name did it, I think, on their own. Shauna Maguire built a career writing urban fantasy, and then when she got into horror, she took on the name Mira Grant because, she figured people looking for Rosemary and Rue books would not be very happy if they came across Feed. So, Ursula Vernon started her career writing books for kids. And so she took on a pen name when she started writing for adults because she didn't want anybody, like, seeing her books, even though they would have been shelved in a different place. Perhaps it was like a parent or a well-meaning friend of the family or something saying, oh, Ursula Vernon, she wrote those cute Dragon Breath books. Here's her new book. It's called The Hollow Places. I bet my kid would love that. So to keep her adult stuff very separate from kid stuff, she has her pen name, but it's very open, obviously, or I wouldn't be talking about it. Yeah. So we've talked about pen names a couple of times on here. Either people don't want their family slash church slash boss knowing that they write. Maybe they hate their name. Maybe they don't like the fact that their name is close to another major author. Yeah, so there's, I'm trying to think of a T name or a K name or an M name. My books are always before Martin, after Jemison. So, kind of sandwich in between those amazing writers. Let's see. Rolling Nerdish is an absolute anarchist with genre. Yeah, I like mixing it up too. I'm working on my second mystery in space right now. When you're working with an editor, does your interaction with your agent decrease or stop? No, definitely not. Usually, I still speak with the editor through the agent. And that's not to say I can't email her. But when the agent wants to know, when the editor wants to know where the book is, she asks my agent. And then I tell my agent, and she tells the editor. And, you know, granted, partly it was because I got a new editor and I hadn't spent a lot of time with her, but, you know, she wanted to do our call to talk about my newer book, with my agent on the phone. So she's still very much involved. And I don't know if it's like that for everybody. A lot of people have different, relationships with their agents than I do. Some are just the business end, and some are a lot more, sorry, I gotta stop being distracted by pop-ups, and some are, I suppose it's unprofessional to say they're a friend, but you know you could call them to talk you off a ledge if you were on one. And I know, I'm not going to name names, of course. I know one agent who is very much an amazing business person. But if I had them as an agent, I would not feel comfortable contacting them to talk me down from a panic that I had about a book, an editor, or whatever. So even though I know they're amazing, I have never considered querying them when I've been with my agent for several years now, but I mean, before then I knew that this, while amazing, not somebody I wanted to work with. So let's see. Seat says, I had an idea that I wanted two books in the same universe, one being fantasy, the other more like science fiction. Just want to make sure I don't miss some integral fundamental thingy of sci-fi when I try this for Nano. When it comes to genre, especially with NaNoWriMo, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. If if people like it, they're gonna like it. They're gonna, you know, they're not gonna look at it and say, this is too much of a mystery or too much fantasy. If it excites them, then they're gonna want it. And then maybe you have a talk with marketing about where to put the book, where to promote the book. But that's way down the line from where you are now. So just write whatever's in your head and then see if you can sell it. Don't worry about it right now. It's, you know, I can only remember one version of this, but I No, I came across one recently, another one recently. John Scalzi mixed fantasy and science fiction when he did The God Engines, which is a novella he wrote where spaceships are powered by trapped gods. Which I suppose gets into the FTL category and therefore total fantasy, but the fact that there's a spaceship in space really feels like fantasy slash science fiction at the same time. My very, very, very early concept of Six Wakes was I wanted an immortal crew to drive a generational starship. That was the first thought of Six Wakes, because I'd read so many books about generational starships that had forgotten their origin, and some didn't even know they were in space. But I wanted people to be decades into a trip and know that they were decades into a trip. So, actually, it's usually actual generations that stop people from, make people forget. But anyway, I wanted an immortal crew. That's it. I wanted a crew to take them from start to finish. And my first thought was fantasy characters who are notoriously long-lived or immortal. And so I'm thinking vampires in space. I don't know. Not sure that works. But so it took a while to get around to clones that just get new bodies after they die. But my first thought was a fantasy thought. Okay, back to Anne's friend. They wanted her to use a pen name, but they saw how well she was doing as a self-published author, so they let her keep the author name. Oh, don't worry about typos. No one cares. I mean, especially because it's not even showing up on the screen. Oh, I was so proud, man. I was so proud of everything I cobbled together today. But that's okay. You guys are patient with me, and I appreciate that. I'm plugging in my tablet so it doesn't die so I can keep up with chat. That's me being awkward. Okay. So what else are we talking about? I gotta go soon. I got an appointment. So, forgot about that. That's fun. I am taking a break next week again. I don't think I'll be doing my game stream tonight either, but taking a break from Twitch, and then I'll be back in November for live writing and probably gaming, and we'll be ready for NaNoWriMo, and good luck. Don't forget, if you're on NaNoWriMo, friend me, Mighty Mer. You can want to email me, mightymer@gmail.com. If you want a pep talk before NaNoWriMo, let me know. I'll be happy to help. And then merverse.com is where you find me. This show is running on twitch.tv/mightymer if you're listening to a later recording and would like to catch the next live show, which will be November 3rd, Election Day. All right, I might have rum with me. Don't judge. Anyway, yeah, 12:30 Eastern Time. And, gosh, what else? I forget. I need a list of the things I'm supposed to end the show with. But if you're not doing NaNoWriMo, then I hope you're still working on something or planning to work on something or working on something because it's pandemic and it's a very bad year for creativity. So just remember that if you didn't do it today, you can still get up and do it tomorrow. But you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I should be writing theme music provided by John Emilio. You can find more about him at johnemilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.